You're listening to The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, and that's The Who and Squeeze Box. It's 8 minutes after 9 o'clock in a full studio this morning, Tommy.
We do.
We got lots to talk about, too.
We do. We're gonna have to get right on this because I think my top... let's introduce people, and then let's break into this. I find that one of our guests knows more about my topic than I do, so...
Well, that's not uncommon.
No, it's not, but, these authors...
Yes. Yeah, we'll get you some. You don't need them. We've got in the studio, we've got Douglas Wells. He's a professor of language and literature. Is that what we call you?
Or of English.
Or of whatever other language you speak. But he's a professor here at Gulf Coast State College. We had you once before. You wrote a book. It was a great book, and now you've written another one.
He liked being on the air so much that he wrote another book to get invited back again.
Why not?
That was the only reason.
We also have Dr. David Ott in as well. We'll talk with him in just a bit about the Panama City Pops. But Douglas, you've read all of Stephen Hawking's books.
I did. Yes.
Really? On purpose?
Yes, it got me.
On purpose?
Yes. You do not read those books not on purpose. This is not something that's... I've only read A Brief History of Time and the Grand Design, so you're way ahead of me.
I took about 3/4 of a year to read them all. It got me through the toughest year of my life.
Really?
Faculty Senate chair.
Have you listened to the Cambridge lectures?
No.
I got you on that one.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Okay. I think those are in one of his books, The Theory of Everything.
I actually had to do a lot of traveling at one point, and I was listening to the Cambridge lectures, which gets you through a lot of things too. Because, despite the fact it's his wheelchair voice, he's such a fascinating person, and trying to figure out how in the world
did you see the movie?
Yes, mm-hmm. I did.
I have not seen the movie yet. What's it called again?
The Theory of Everything.
Yes, and Professor Hawking got ALS at the age of 21, and they take him through his life up to that and just briefly after in that movie. It was a great movie.
Yeah, I've wanted to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
Can you imagine being a grad student and learning that you have ALS?
No.
As a grad student.
Yeah. Mm. And the other thing that's just absolutely amazing is how long he survived an absolutely horrible degenerative neurological disease.
Yeah.
And was productive his entire life, despite the fact he's communicating by moving an eyeball and twitching his cheek.
Yeah.
Before we got on air, producer Brandon and I were talking about it. He's one of the reasons predictive texting works. You know, when you type on your phone, that was part of a development for him to be able to communicate.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing stuff.
Fun fact, Hawking was originally not going to be a physicist.
What was he going to be?
I forget exactly.
He was going to be a producer on a radio show, but I'm not sure.
I don't think it was
a little
that.
Overqualified.
It was another science. I think it was like a biology.
Interesting.
Science.
Hmm.
I need to double check that. But as soon as he learned ALS, he was like, well, I got to find something else.
Well, there you have it. Well, Douglas, you've written another book.
Yes, I have.
What's this one about?
Well, it's a large departure from the first one. This one is much more serious.
Of course, your first one was funny.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Really, it was. I could hear you actually narrating this to me when I read it. Yes, because I know your sense of humor, and I know you pretty well. So yeah. I could hear Douglas in the background. In fact, I had several visions of thinking of you behind your computer and laughing as you were typing.
Well, I did laugh when I was writing it. Sometimes.
And the first book was called what?
The Secrets of All Secrets.
Yes, and I figured out what The Secrets of All Secrets was.
Yes,
and
you did.
I shall not tell.
Don't tell.
No, exactly. So what's this one called?
This one's called How We End Up, and it follows three people over a course of 25 years, a man and two women, they're twins.
Mm-hmm.
He actually meets them by saving them from drowning in the Gulf of Mexico when they're 9 years
old. Is it here in Panama City?
Well, it's fictionally based on this area, but that's most of the book does not take place here or in that area. It takes place in a few other locales.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still in Florida or just...
Some in Florida, some in a fictional town in North Carolina, or in the Carolina Mountains, as it says in the book. And then some other places, too. There's some scenes in Chicago and some other places on the East Coast of Florida as well. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell us how it ends up, are you?
No. You have to read it to find out how we end up.
Okay, seriously. Wow. All right. Seriously, this is tough. You know, these authors want us to read their books. They won't just tell us how it all ends up. Oh, well. Who are you published with?
Touchpoint Press.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and this book releases next Tuesday, on the 20th. I have some advanced copies because I'm going to appear at a local event, which I'd like to talk about just for a minute.
We'll let you talk about it.
So when there's a moment, let me know when I can talk about it.
And by the way, if you'd like this book, you can have it almost instantly from Amazon right now. Looks like it's $4.99 on Amazon Books.
For the Kindle.
For your e-reader.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Well, we'll let you talk about that, and we'll maybe let you talk even about a few more things
if you'd like to, on the other side of the break.
We've got some more music coming your way. We'll take a quick break, and... we'll be back with some music, new music from Kid Rock, right here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. It's new music on The Mix this morning from Kid Rock that's called American Rock and Roll. It's 19 minutes after 9 o'clock, and Professor Douglas Wells in the studio with us, author and professor. Does that help you with the students at all? Do they go, wow, I'm in the midst of a real-life author?
Maybe. Well, some students are interested. In fact, I have a couple who have actually are in the process of reading the first book.
Really?
But at least I can claim some legitimacy when I say, you know what, I have to do this too, only instead of a 500-word paper, it's a 90,000-word paper.
There you have it.
So there you go. But I don't talk about it too much in class, you know, bragging about it, but... most of them know.
Sure.
Know, yeah.
So. Well, yeah. Famous guy.
Yeah, sure. Very famous. WFA, world famous author.
So you're going to be at an event with some books.
Yes. I'd like to put a plug in for this. It's the Read Local Indie Author Fest at the Bay County Public Library on Monday, March 19th. That's next Monday. And I'll be one of several authors who are going to be first talking about writing in their books. And then there'll be booths set up for each of the authors to sign and sell. For people who are there.
That's very good.
So I have to bring my iPad so you can sign my ebook copy?
Oh, yeah, I'd be glad to.
Okay.
I can just sign it on your hand if you want.
Now, other than going through something like Amazon, I mean, can somebody find your book another way? Is there another website? Touchpoint have a website that they can get?
Touchpoint Press has it on their website. Amazon has it. Barnes & Noble will have it. And there's a couple other sites that the publisher puts it on. That I've seen them, their names, I can't remember what they are.
Sure.
But Amazon and Barnes & Noble are the most convenient.
Is there an audiobook version, like on Audible?
Not yet, but I'm going to try to get one for this one, because I've been reading about how to get that done, so that's...
I know he's some voiceover artist.
Yes.
You've got several of them.
How about the I Come Cheap?
We all know that, Scott.
You shouldn't brag about that on the air, Scott.
Okay. Well, enough said on that.
Yeah. Okay. How about we change the subject briefly to Celtic music?
Okay.
I like Celtic music.
I do, too.
Okay.
I have good news for both of you.
Yes.
Saturday night, Marina Civic Center, Panama City Pops Orchestra. We're going to be featuring Mithril, an ensemble of four out of Mobile, guitar, harp, fiddle, and lots of fun. Percussion, of course. Mithril has been around for a number of years, have a couple of recordings out, and they're coming to us because I know the players and I respect greatly what they do, but most of all, it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Celtic music is fun.
It is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, and I think it's fun because it's honest music. Ireland, Scotland, and England have never been a hotbed for classical composers. That was more continental. But the music that comes out of the people... jigs, fun music. This is really the core of what the Irish and Scotch have given us. Scottish.
Well, Scotch helps sometimes,
Scotch
too.
Scotch is later. It's after the show.
Right. That's after the show, please.
And then, I'll tell you, Scott, well, you know music. The lyricism of the Irish music is just stunning. As a composer, I simply admire I'm sure these were anonymous, unknown people who who created this stuff naturally. And it's just simply beautiful music. It's either very, very exciting or it's very melancholic, lyric, and interesting music.
Absolutely. We'll play a little bit. How about that? And we'll take a break and get some weather. We'll wrap things up with Professor Wells, and you can spin us more tales of literary, I don't know, whatever. And then we'll talk about the Panama City Pops as well. So here's a little bit of the Celtic Women. This is the Isle of Innisfree on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. That's Dina Carter on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. A little help there from George Jones and that classic, He Thinks I Still Care. She adds a little twist to it. Right. But George thinks she still cares.
Something about He Thinks I Steal Cars.
Yeah, I think that was Ray Stevens, maybe.
I or Weird Al Yankovic. Weird Al.
But either one. Mm-hmm. But somebody sang it like that.
Okay.
Still in the studio, Professor Douglas Wells here at Gulf Coast State College. And really, I joke about it, but it's true. I mean, you are an author. I say you're a best-selling author. You're the best-selling author I know.
On this campus.
You're a best-selling author on this campus, maybe. No,
wait, well, Sandra Cicerelli, I think, wrote a book.
She wrote a textbook.
Yeah, well, still, it sold better.
Oh, if it was required in a bunch of courses, she might have outsold you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And certainly at a higher price per unit, I guarantee you.
And exactly. She gets to update it. You don't get to really ever do an update to a book, but you have won some awards.
Yes,
for your first book.
Yeah, The Secrets of All Secrets. I was very pleased. I got a silver award from Literary Titan, which is an online review source. It also got a finalist in the Independent Author Network awards.
You got a great review in Panama City Living Magazine from someone.
The person who wrote that review was paid very well for that review.
The picture was not my favorite part, but that's all right.
Yeah, actually, it's funny, Scott, because I have they put the review up in our workroom.
Oh, no, for real?
Out of the magazine. And you do look a little uncomfortable in that picture.
My wife saw it in the magazine. She's like, they took that picture? I'm like, they took a gazillion pictures. I had no idea. I was just doing what I was told. I'm obedient.
Speaking of reviews, may I give you one that has been rememberable for me, and that was, David Ott may not be a musical genius, but he's not an idiot either.
Isn't that damning with faint praise?
I don't.
Was that for a piece of music or a performance?
No, it was just a comment about a particular piece of music. Yeah, I was crushed at first, but now I think it's really great fun.
Douglas and I share, we get student reviews after our classes each semester, and you sometimes get some things like that as well.
Well, I'm sure that critics are just people who couldn't make it on their own.
Oh, yeah,
probably,
sure,
yes. So, Douglas, tell us one last time how we can get a hold of your book. Where are you going to be? You're going to be at the Florida Northwest Regional
NWRLS.
Thank you. Library.
Yeah, Monday night from, I think it's 5:45 to 8:00.
Very good.
And like I say, there's several other authors who are local or across the panhandle will be there. And I'm looking forward to it. The last appearance I made was at the Sheraton for Tony Simmons, writes for the paper. He has Books by the Bay, where you go and you read. And I had a pretty good experience there.
And Tom asked this off air. How many do you sell, more Kindle books or more paperbacks?
Well, the first book sold more paperbacks.
Okay. Well, as a writer, are you more of a electronic reader or a paperback guy?
I'm a hard copy reader.
Me too.
Yeah, that's how I grade papers too. No electronic.
You print them all out?
Yeah. Well, they do.
Well, they do. Oh, well, you don't have them submitted electronically.
Well, I do that as a backup.
Sure.
But I grade the hard copy papers.
Very good.
It's just my method. I've done for years.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Real quickly, who are your favorite authors to read?
Great question.
you mentioned Stephen Hawking earlier.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he doesn't.
I don't think he's anybody's favorite.
Well,
but
actually, his books were really well written. You know, I don't claim to understand everything he talked about, but I did learn a lot from him. But of course, he's a nonfiction writer.
Sure.
Although maybe some people would say his theories are fictional.
In some cases, it almost sounds fictional,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Is this real? Yes. But yeah, historically, people like Tolstoy. Who's probably one of the greatest novelists of all time, but people don't write like Tolstoy anymore. Mm-hmm. It's because you have to wade through everything that he writes, but it's worthwhile. Contemporaneously, I like you know, people like Bottinghet, Joseph Heller, those are my favorite satirical novelists. And there are others. There's a writer named James Salter who just passed away about 3 years ago. But he wrote some pretty fabulous books. His last book, All That Is, which was published about 2 years before he passed away, that's a really moving book. I recommend that. And then I went through a phase of reading books about Vietnam and a couple of fictional works. There's a great novel called Matterhorn by, I can't think of the guy's last name now, but he really captures that war very effectively. It's kind of really brutal, but interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the name of your new book again?
How We End Up.
Very good. And you won't tell us?
No.
No, you've got to read it.
You have to read the book to get
authors.
To that. How We End Up.
The professor, Douglas Wells, here at Gulf Coast State College, author and professor.
Yes.
Thank you for being on. And we've got in the on deck here, in the on deck circle, we've got Dr. David Ott from the Panama City Pops. We'll be back in just a moment. We got 2 minutes here with KT Tunstall, and it's Black Horse and the Cherry Tree on the Mix on 90.7 WKGC. It's the Mix on 90.7 WKGC and KT Tunstall and Black Horse and the Cherry Tree. And when I first heard that song for the very first time, I thought it was the Black Horse in the Cherry Tree, which I thought...
Which would be awkward.
How do you get a horse in a cherry tree?
A helicopter.
I guess. We have with us Professor Dr. and Professor David Ott, who is a composer and conductor of the Panama City Pops. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've already heard you a little bit this morning.
Yes. Well, we're here, obviously, because we have a big concert this Saturday night at the Marina Civic Center. It's entitled Celtic Celebrations.
Okay.
We're going to focus on music that comes out of the British Isles. Although we're doing Celtic music with a Celtic group, which is called Mithril, which gives us the real true flavor of the country music, we also have a great work planned by Ralph Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending, which calls for a violin solo and small orchestra. It's a challenging piece in the sense that there aren't a lot of notes, but a great control that's required of the orchestra. I'm proud of the way our orchestra is developing over the last couple of years. We're getting great players to join us. We've got some good local players to start with, and we are really moving forward. And our audiences are growing. We're getting wonderful responses for them. So the future looks great for our orchestra.
Yeah, it does. How many members do you have now?
We've really brought it down to 54. We were running in the 60s before, but we did some shaping of the orchestra, and 54 is a magic number from a number of respects. I'm very proud of, in particular, of our wind playing. We have some very strong players who come from local areas here. We augment those with people from FSU and other places, but our core orchestra is a very strong ensemble.
Mm-hmm. So you've really got to make sure you've got your strings in there.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's where we lack in numbers are in the strings, and that's not unusual.
I was
going to
say, isn't that
the
complaint for every orchestral conductor?
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, the orchestra requires so many string players. You only need three trumpets, three trombones, two oboes, that sort of thing, but you may need almost 40 string players by the time it's all told.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is, for a city, particularly of this size.
Sure.
But we do have Florida State University in Tallahassee, with a great body of string playing, and we bring those students over, and they seem to enjoy it. They're part of us. I tell them when they come into town, they are Panama City Orchestra members. This
right.
is what they are. They're not students anymore, and they come to us at the doctoral and master's level, and they're basically like double-A baseball players. I mean, if you've been to a double-A baseball game, some of these guys make major league plays. We've got that level, because some of these players will be auditioning for large orchestras, Atlanta,
sure.
Dallas, whatever, in a few years, so we will make use of them while they're here.
And how often do you all rehearse?
Well, we rehearsed last Thursday night, last Monday night, Thursday and Friday, and play a concert Saturday. So we really have three rehearsals with everybody and five rehearsals if you include just the local people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Where can someone find out more information about the Pops?
Well, 785-POPS, 785-POPS is how you get the tickets, or they can go through the box office at the Marina Civic Center. We have a website, Pops, Panama City Pops Orchestra, and we certainly are looking forward to seeing you there on Saturday night, 7:30.
A little Celtic music.
A little Celtic music, you
and
bet.
And since you mentioned that, we'll play the Celtic Women once again. This is You Raise Me Up. We have a vinyl play of the day still to come here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Dr. Odd, don't go anywhere. It's a great song there by the Celtic Women, You Raise Me Up. I think that was originally done. Did anybody else do it besides Josh Groban first? Or is that his
That's the version that comes to mind.
Yeah. Right.
But I know a lot of people have done it since, and that's the Celtic Women. We play that because the Pops are playing some Celtic music this weekend.
We are. And I don't think you can recognize many of the tunes. The groups that the group that's playing this will introduce all of their own things.
Sure.
But you will recognize the style immediately. And they're interesting titles like Sink in the Eel, a sink rather, Eel in the Sink.
Which is unfortunate, and there's people to call for that.
All right, yes, and I'm not one of those persons.
So you said you're not going to dress up like a leprechaun for
No, I don't plan to dress up
you
like
should.
A
leprechaun.
Well,
really
yes. But I might go just buy a green shirt just to celebrate.
Go.
I mean, St. Patrick's Day is a big event.
It sure is.
The Irish have had such a strong impact on our country, especially after, you know, there were such difficult times that they had in the middle of the 19th century.
Sure.
But they bring their music, their style. So it's
have you ever been to Chicago on St. Patrick's Day?
No, but I've seen The Fugitive.
Okay, there you go.
We were there. See,
yes,
yeah.
I have been there, and they do. They dye the river green.
Right,
and
yeah.
they huge parade.
Well, sometimes they don't have to dye that river. I mean, it's a
little bit more of a brilliant green.
Then you're not talking about that dark.
No, not that at all. No, it's an interesting place to be in a big city with a lot of Irish heritage and being around that. But the Celtic music is a lot of fun.
It is, and not only fun, but it's also very lyrical, very singable. We hope you come. You'll find the orchestra in tip-top shape, and we're growing, and our audiences are growing, thanks to you people in Bay County, and we're getting support. St. Joe is underwriting much of this concert. We thank them for their support. It takes that to make an orchestra complete, and I always say it takes three things to make music work. Somebody's got to write it. That's my job. Somebody's got to play it. That's the orchestra's job, but you've got to be there.
Well, somebody has to conduct it too, Dr.
Ott. Well, yes, but that's part of the playing.
I don't think
but
they pay any attention to him. He's up there waving his arms, and they're looking at the music. So,
but it's the audience that makes it complete.
Absolutely.
Without the audience, it's just not the same. So we feel like that's the most important part of making a concert complete.
Absolutely. And we'll come back with you real quickly before we're finished. We do have a vinyl play of the day, Tommy,
do I want to do a vinyl play of the day? Do tell.
Because, I think we're one of the only folks around playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a generalization, and I could be wrong, but I'm fairly certain we're the only one playing vinyl.
It is a lot easier to press a button on your touchscreen over there and play a song than it is to get out an LP, clean it, and cue it, and get it ready to play.
But also, we are highlighting vinyl because we have a large, large vinyl collection.
Ooh,
and Dr. Ott, you're looking around, but you're not seeing.
I think the maestro needs to take a look at that classical collection because there's stuff in there that you about wouldn't believe.
It is a extensive classical collection on vinyl. We also have pop and funk,
a lot of it recorded,
jazz.
You know, recorded on London and stuff like that. You know, so these are heavyweight vinyls.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and we're going to give it away. Actually, because we have what we're going to do is we're having our pledge drive. And when you pledge at a certain level for WKGC, we will let you come in on April 7th, Saturday, April 7th. We're going to bring the vault over here and let you pick through and take a certain number of records.
Very good.
That you would like. So we're excited about that. The pledge drive actually gets kicked off on April 2nd, but you can pledge now. And you will get your ticket to our Vinyl Vault giveaway, which is on April 7th. Visit our website, wkgc.org, for more information. Tom?
Okay, this song we're going to listen to today is off the third studio album by this American rock band. And it was released in July 1968, which is, by the way, when I actually purchased that particular record. And it became the band's first and only number one album. and spawning their second U.S. number one single. So here is that number one single off that third album, Hello, I Love You, by The Doors.
The Doors and our vinyl play of the day on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Final play of the day on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Yeah, that's The Doors. Hello, I love you.
I told producer Brandon that is a song about the worst pickup line you could ever use as a young man.
You think so?
I don't know.
Didn't work for you.
It certainly didn't work for me in 1968, no.
There you go. Professor Ott, again, give us the information about the Pops. Again, you're going to be performing this weekend at the Civic Center?
Yes. We're calling this Celtic Celebrations Saturday night, 7:30.
It'll be St. Patty's Day.
It will be St. Patty's Day. And what better way to celebrate it than hearing great music, well played. Mithril, the ensemble from Mobile, will be there. NNU, our solo special, is playing the Lark Ascending, an absolutely stunningly beautiful work. And although it's not truly Celtic music, we're ending with some Beatles music.
I like
celebrating
it. I think that'll work.
Yeah, I do too.
Well,
do
it's from the right locale anyway.
It is.
Yeah, it's just
and, you know,
British Isles.
The modality of that music can be heard in like Eleanor Rigby.
Sure. Sure.
It's
absolutely.
You know, it's what they heard. It was around the world. And so I thought it'd be okay to play some Beatles. Anyway, Beatles is always great
stuff. It's always okay to play the Beatles.
Okay.
Give us the number for the Pops again.
785-POPS. 785-POPS.
We're going to round out this hour of music. Thank you, David Ott, for coming in. It is 9:57. This is little Eric Clapton to take us up to 10 o'clock and change the world. You're listening to The Mix on your local public radio station, 90.7 WKGC.